Hello, and welcome to the Movie Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll have a spoiler-filled discussion about a movie we think you'll enjoy. In this episode, I am joined by my sister Kate, and we're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion on the movie Charlie's Angels from 2019.
You have to specify the year with Charlie's Angels.
I was going to say, not to be confused with the previous Charlie's Angels from whichever year that was, or Charlie's Angels Full Throttle, the sequel to it, or the Charlie's Angels TV show from the 70s, or the Charlie's Angels TV show from...
The 90s, maybe?
I was going to say, no, sometime in the last decade. I was going to say 2008.
Oh, that's right. Yes, you're right.
I'm not going to say I'm, you know, uber fan of the property. I mean, it's fun. I liked it. I've watched some of the original show, enjoyed it as a kid and stuff, watched the previous movies. I think Drew Barrymore, Cameron Diaz, and Lucy Liu did a great job. Not surprised it didn't go past two movies. Watched the revival show for the half season it was on.
Yeah.
I forget who all was in it. They were decent actresses.
Minka Kelly, maybe?
That was the one I was thinking. She's now on Titans as Dove. Decent enough. Not surprised it lasted as short as it did. Was curious about this one coming in. What I enjoyed about this one is it did a number of things to try to tie together the various versions all the way back from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Making a few changes along the way, one or two of which I actually do object to, even though it was well done. But basically how the Townsend Agency has expanded and gone international over the years. And Bosley is a rank in the organization versus it being just the name. Because they kind of treated the previous movies sort of as a reboot, but not totally. I mean, they had callbacks to the original stuff without necessarily directly tying in, although it's been long enough since I've watched. We should rewatch those.
Mm-hmm.
But here, they've got a fairly clear through line that implies that the original show happened as was.
Mm-hmm.
Things happened, and, you know, the agency is what it is now.
Well, and they did a nice job of playing with the fact that we never saw Charlie on the original show.
Yes. And they got the voice.
Yes, they did.
It was a different person doing the voice, but it sounded just like it. And what I loved was at one point, it's revealed that it's a voice changer thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because we actually hear a different person giving the instructions, and it translates into that iconic voice.
Yeah.
And I loved that, particularly the reveal of... They don't flat out tell us who's Charlie, but we see somebody...
A hand with a ring.
A recognizable hand and who that hand's attached to later.
Yeah.
So it's pretty obvious, and I thought it was the right choice.
Yes.
Don't want to spoil that for people, even though we will go through spoilers and stuff. The part I will spoil is the part I didn't like. John Bosley was the bad guy in the film, and the original John Bosley. Now, it's played by Patrick Stewart, and he does a great job with it. But I felt it was disrespectful to... I want to see David Boyle, who played Bosley in the show. The original Bosley.
Yeah, and the original Bosley was so much fun.
And they had put Patrick Stewart as if he had been that person and done some old photos with the original Angels, with the previous set of movie Angels. Didn't catch if there was one from the TV show set of Angels, the revival one or not. But it's as if Patrick Stewart had always been in the role.
Well, and his ID number is Bosley 001.
I think they missed an opportunity here. I think it should have been Bosley 002. He was the first franchised Bosley. So some of his anger was being number two, being seen as the replacement, not the original. And the number of comments you could have had him just make under his breath about number one.
Yes.
Would have been hilarious, given it to Patrick Stewart, the Star Trek reference, etc. And it wouldn't have sullied the reputation of the original Bosley.
Yeah.
It's the same problem I think the original Mission Impossible movie had putting Jim Phelps as the bad guy.
Yeah.
He was somebody who'd gone through, I'm going to say, 9 seasons over 2 shows. The only real characterization you get about that guy is he's the hero.
Yes.
You know, and again, here they did the same sort of a thing. Now, all of that having been said, I think they played fair between the Patrick Stewart Bosley Emmy Elizabeth Banks Bosley as to who was the good guy, who was the bad guy.
That was interesting to watch.
Because I had gone in there thinking Elizabeth Banks, who it turns out directed, wrote, and produced the film, was setting this up to where she could be doing it for, you know, a bunch of other films down the line. It didn't do well, so don't know if that'll happen. I think it could and probably should. It was not a bad film.
Yeah, I agree.
But when Patrick Stewart is set up and there's a clear somebody's chasing somebody, you know, when he's forced to retire and stuff, I was thinking, particularly when the Elizabeth Banks Bosley reported to somebody else, and there's this mysterious buyer, is this the buyer? I'm like, yeah. Oh, maybe she's the bad person. Maybe I was wrong about all this. So well, they did the fake out well.
Yeah, because she said something to that person that she had just said, we shouldn't say this to anybody.
Yes, yes. We're doing this off the books or whatever. So I thought from a plot point of view, it was well done. I think the way they tried to tie everything together was well done. I think the action was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot more gunplay than the previous films, where it was more martial art type stuff, which I think is a little bit more in keeping with the original. Although it's been long enough since I've watched, I could be wrong on that.
Well, and they played fair to the original in terms of new members coming together and not necessarily gelling immediately.
Yes, yes. There was definitely, we see the first time the two angels that we follow meet and stuff, one literally getting pushed off the edge of a building, although with a harness and stuff like that. They built the characters up quickly and effectively, and we still learn more about them as they go.
Mm-hmm.
But they were well established. They quickly established in the opening action sequence that there is an army of angels now.
Yeah.
And I thought that was well done, particularly when it was a callback later and such. They had a little bit more in the way of, you know, James Bond Mission Impossible type gadgets and stuff like that. But some of them were also used to good effect plot-wise and humor-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Naomi Scott, who played the Pink Ranger in the Power Rangers film that Elizabeth Banks played Rita Repulsa in, she plays who eventually becomes the new recruit. She's the one that brings them essentially a mission of, hey, this is going bad, you gotta do something about it.
She had some good comedy scenes.
She did. She had some good action scenes.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good role for her, and I thought she did very well with it. Kristen Stewart played one of the more established angels, the more troublesome one, almost the Drew Barrymore role from the movies.
Yeah.
Previous movies. I thought she did well with that. The whole is she rich or not kind of a thing. Played in later with, you know, more money, more horses sorts of things. The other actress I didn't recognize, but I thought she did a terrific job. I mean, the acting all around, I think it was well cast and well done. So I think they get high marks for that. They sold the action sequences well.
Yeah.
They sold the comedy sequences well without being kind of over the top or ridiculous. Because some of the comedy stuff they did in the previous films, particularly with Cameron Diaz, I thought was a little over the top and ridiculous. Funny, but in a come on kind of a way.
Yeah.
I think also the Saint character, and I put that in air quotes, not that you could see it, was a lot of fun because that was when they get to a safe house and he's the one looking after them.
Yes.
Here's the food, here's what we've got, and is a licensed psychotherapist, and basically everything they need he's able to provide. And it would have been nice to have seen one or two more like him in other places.
Yeah.
In other words, is that a similar role to being a Bosley?
It seemed to be a support role.
But my point is, is it franchised out?
Oh, I see. Interesting. Ella Balinski.
Yeah, that was the other angel.
Was the one we didn't recognize.
And she did a good job. Did definitely some great action sequences and such.
Yeah, well, at the quarry, she had a great one where she kind of jumped out a window and went sliding down.
Yeah, the sliding down. Seeing the behind the scenes of this could be fun.
Yeah.
Because she also had a couple where she seemed to be doing some flips and some other stuff that was well done.
Yeah. Now, on the poster, they had the three angels, Elizabeth Banks, and then they had four guys.
Patrick Stewart was one of them.
Yes.
The Saint character was probably one of them.
Mm-hmm.
The bad guy who's Naomi Scott's character's boss or whatever would have been one of them. Mm-hmm. And the assassin would have been the other. No?
Not the assassin. the lab geek who was in like four or five scenes.
He was a minor character. I would not have put him on the movie poster. I'd have put the assassin. I believe you. I just, that's not who I would have picked.
Yeah, because they had the poster on the screen in the very limited slideshow.
Flip side, if I were to do a sequel of this, I'd keep the lab geek and have him be one of the Saint level support types.
That I agree with, especially since he and Jane hit it off.
Yeah, yeah.
And in that sense, he was well used. And I mean, when she comes into his lab and just starts making some improvised gas bomb or something, smoke bomb, and he just kind of flips over a jar of gummy bears because it has the chemical she needs in it.
Mm-hmm.
At first, it's like, are you giving her a candy? Oh, wait.
Yeah. I thought that scene was... It played on the action well. It played on kind of the pseudo-romance sort of a thing well and the humor.
Yeah.
And a lot of these scenes worked on those multiple levels. And I appreciated that. So I think it was reasonably well written.
Yeah.
Again, there's one or two plot points I would have changed and I think could have really beefed up the script.
Yeah.
Because if you could have gotten the Patrick Stewart Bosley to think he'd been kind of passed over when the original Charlie died and the original Bosley died, and it's not just, hey, one thing and he flips out kind of a deal, but
yeah,
it's now a pattern in his mind.
Yeah. Well, it would have been really funny if he had started ranting and raving about the fact that the Townsend Agency is the only place with a glass ceiling for men.
Oh, that would have been hilarious.
All these former angels are getting promoted.
Particularly if it starts out as a rant on sexism where you think he's siding with the women.
Yes, yes.
And then you realize, wait a sec.
Yes.
He could have done that pretty well. I think Patrick Stewart was well used, and at first I was afraid he was in there for that opening sequence and just getting shuttled out, and okay, we've seen him, let's move on. So bringing him back when they did, how they did, of is this watch I got for retirement rigged or not kind of thing, was well done.
Yeah.
So again, high marks on all of that.
Well, and having a, in the mid-credits... end of credits type scenes. They had great stuff.
The stuff at the end where it goes from Naomi Scott's character, Elena, of being, okay, we've tried you out. Now we're going to train you. We get Danica Patrick, the race car driver, teaching driving.
Yeah.
I didn't recognize the bomb expert or the fighting one, but I'm sure they were similar types. That's where I really would have gone for a bunch of cameos or whatever.
I actually wondered if Drew Barrymore had done one of those. It was quick enough and the angle was such, I just wasn't sure.
If so, I didn't catch it. I did see a familiar face or two in the plane parachuting out when it's like, oh, you've got to go land the plane. Hallie Stafield or something like that from the Pitch Perfect movies that Elizabeth Banks also did was in that. As was, I think, one or two other...
Somebody from Riverdale?
Somebody, the one who plays Betty Cooper from Riverdale, that's it. And again, just a couple of cameos and stuff. I also liked how when they did the reveal at the party with all these other angels having infiltrated it and stuff to set it up, they did a couple of quick cuts to, we saw this one here, this one there, that one there. And it was done as a glance object cut with Elena as she's, oh wait, ah,
yeah.
I recognize them.
Well, and it made a lot of sense given the stuff that we'd heard in that opening scene of the whole, you know, if you're beautiful, you can draw attention.
But you could also be ignored if that's all they're thinking or whatever. It would have been nice to have had a line of dialogue to answer how come the Patrick Stewart Bosley character didn't recognize anyone at the party in terms of these women.
Yeah, well, he'd been upstairs behind the closed door without watching security. He wasn't watching for angels. He was too focused on what he was doing.
He had captured, basically, somebody working with the angels. He should have expected that. If he was as good as he thought he was. Now,
yes.
If he'd gone with these overconfident and they're not going to come, they don't know where to go, whatever. A line of dialogue could have worked
it. Well, and he should have known that there was tracking stuff in the clothing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or in the angel.
Yes.
So they had a couple of good recurring lines of send the love.
Yes.
And I liked a bit at the end of getting the wings.
Yes.
You know, becoming an angel and stuff. I thought they really sold that whole concept well.
Mm-hmm.
And this was set up to where they could definitely, having firmly established both the franchise aspect and the history of the Townsend Agency, they could spin this off to other movies or even another TV show where they actually round Robin across different teams.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were to play down the action sequence a little, you could do this as a series of TV movies for Hallmark, ABC Family, or wherever.
Well, and they kind of, let's see, we follow the case wherever it goes. We have offices in all these different cities, but that doesn't mean we stay bound to the city the office is in.
Yes, yes. I think they could have established the Edgar connection to Jane a little bit better. Clearly,
yes.
I was almost wondering father-daughter sort of a thing.
Yeah,
didn't seem to be.
No, because she didn't know his first name.
Yeah.
But there was definitely something there.
Mentor-student sort of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it also seemed like at first, it's like, have you moved into the apartment yet? As if she'd just been moved to that city.
Yeah.
So it had me wondering about backstory and the characters, where they were going to go, what was going to happen and stuff. And I think in terms of continuity and pulling all the pieces together, when we go into the closet and we see outfits reminiscent of the 70s Angels and stuff like that, and from even the previous movies and stuff, those callbacks were subtle. If you don't catch them, no big deal, but if you do, it's a nice touch.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're not hitting you over the head with it.
Yeah.
So I appreciated that, and it didn't seem to go over great in the theaters from what I could tell, but I thought it was a good film.
Yeah.
You know, it got me wanting to rewatch the previous ones, maybe at some point rewatch the original series.
The original series was fun.
Mm-hmm.
But Charlie's Angels, it has this strange mix of women's empowerment and sexism.
Yes.
And that may be, I mean, I'd have to look when it came out in connection to Me Too.
This movie?
Yeah. It may have just hit the theaters at a time when it wasn't enough women's empowerment compared to that sexism side.
Yeah, but if you look at the underlying message of this film, with an all-female team led by a female Bosley, and, you know, all the women are on the side of good, most of the men are on the side of bad.
Yeah.
That seems like a, I don't say a women empowerment thing right there, but it's like,
but did they advertise it sufficiently that way?
No, and I think a lot of people are just going to write it off based on the title and the outfits they wear and that sort of a thing.
I mean, the poster made a point of putting four men on it. Why?
Well, one, when you've got Patrick Stewart, you put him on the poster.
Okay.
But I don't think they needed all of that. I think part of it was a visual balance kind of a thing, because they were trying to fill out that upside-down triangle Townsend Agency logo.
Yeah.
And I'm curious if that was the original logo of the Townsend Agency back in the show.
I don't remember.
Or if that came about through the previous movies or wherever. But it's one that I would like to see more on this. And it really shows me that Dynamite, which last I looked had the license for Charlie's Angels, totally missed the boat.
Mm.
The last thing they did was a Charlie's Angels versus Bionic Woman. So 70s era.
Yeah.
Good mix up. I like that. But now they've got a property that they could literally create new characters for, go with this whole franchised aspect, tell good action-adventure stories with effectively creator-owned characters if they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a lot more they could be doing with it than they were. Even if nothing else, I think they should consider doing a who's who in the Townsend Agency kind of a thing.
Yeah.
You know? And basically, here's the history of the known angels or whatever and the people they've worked with.
Yeah.
Because I think if they were to do that right and package it to where you could put it into bookstores, I think bookstores you would expect photos, not art, but still.
Yeah.
Could be interesting. I think there's a market to be had for that. But I thought it was a fun film, good action. It carried my attention throughout. It was about 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I think the actresses they picked did a great job. I think Patrick Stewart was really well used.
Well, and as you said, the writing played fair.
Yeah.
It gave us the clues we needed, etc.
Well, and kept us on our toes. It wasn't telegraphed, oh, here's the bad guy.
Yes.
You know, so when at one point the person we thought was in charge of everything is out of the picture, I'm like, well, crap, now what?
Yeah.
You know, so they had some stuff that looking back I could see, okay, that opening scene set two or three things up I didn't catch at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So foreshadowing without telegraphing.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and at one point somebody seems to come to the rescue.
Mm-hmm.
And in hindsight, oh, we should have been suspicious of that.
Yeah, there was one scene where you've got two people essentially squaring off, and I'm like, well, which one do I
Yeah.
Which is the good person.
Yeah.
So I like that kind of question without feeling like it's like, well, damn, you haven't given me enough to go on.
Yeah.
So it was well done. I wish it had done better in the theaters to get more likely to get a sequel and stuff. And I do wish they had not put the Patrick Stewart character as if he were the original Bosley.
I agree. Yeah.
I don't think it would have changed the plot at all to have had him been the first franchised Bosley.
Yeah.
And if he thought he was coming in and taking the Townsend Agency to a new level, turned it worldwide, and then gets passed over,
yeah,
totally would have sold his character a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think given a lot of really funny comments of Trek-type references to be had.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, so the fact they didn't go there, not disappointing, missed opportunity.
Yeah.
So anything else?
I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.